This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome everyone to a very special venue. Tonight's Wednesday night shiur is being brought to you through the venue of the Chazak programming. I want to thank Chazak for hosting tonight's venue. I want to thank my dear friends, Rav Ilan Meirov, Rav Yaniv Meirov, Rav Rabbi Aboff, for presenting this venue for tonight's shiur. Whatever you could do to show your support for Chazak, they do such wonderful work for the Jewish community of Queens and the entire broader New York Jewish community, especially in the area of enrolling public school students into yeshivas. So please show them your greatest support, and in turn, the Ribbono Shel Olam will shower upon you and your family only bracha v'hatzlacha. The Chazak venue is sponsored by Chickens for Shabbos, which is an incredible organization which is dedicated just for putting food on the table of the most important and those who need it the most. Please go to the Yad Eliezer site, hit the icon for Agunos Grushois Melamdim, for these Yidden who need it most. There is no one more important in Klal Yisrael than the Melamdim. Without them, without our Rabbeim, then we don't have the next generation. So whatever you could do to generously show your support for Agunos Grushois Melamdim, go to the Yad Eliezer site, hit the icon for Agunos Grushois Melamdim, and you will bring Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is also our regular Wednesday night shiur. This Wednesday night, I have the schus to be in Turkey to visit Kivrei Tzadikim, Rav Chaim Falaji, the Smichas Chachamim, Rav Avram Falaji, the Parshas Drachim, the Mayam Loyes, Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, and our Wednesday night shiurim on Sefer Shemois are again sponsored by our dear friends, the Zakheim Mishpacha and Dr. Zakheim Le'iloi Nishmas, Rav Shloima Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia. The neshama should have an aliyah, v'gan Eden, tehei menuchasam, and they should be melitza yesharim for their whole family, arbias goel tzedek. Tonight's shir is also sponsored by the Rubin family, Le'iloi Nishmas, David Chaim ben Shloima Dumbek, whose yahrzeit is Chaf Dalet Teves, and we wish that the neshama have an aliyah and be a melech yosher for their whole family, for Simcha Sanachas, Besuras Toivois, Ad Bias Goyal Tzedek. So, I would like to speak about a subject relevant to the time period that we're in, as well as the parshiyos that we're reading. We are now experiencing a period of time that is known as Shoivivim. Shoivivim stand for Shmois Va'era Boi B'Shalach Yisroi Mishpatim. Sometimes they're referred to as Shoivivim Tat. We include Truma and Tetzaveh. And this time of the year is specifically focused on working on Inyanei Kedusha. Inyanei Kedusha refers to guarding the Bris Milah, guarding Kedushas HaBris, acting with a certain modesty, guarding one's eyes from Inyanei Arayos. And this idea, that this time of the year is specifically focused on this Avoida, is cited in the Be'er Hetev, in Siman Tafresh Pehesiv Katan Zayin. And there seems to be a special emphasis on the days of Shoivivim, specifically in a leap year. Because the Be'er Hetev says, Yesh Noyagim B'Shan Mu'Beres, to establish a fast day on every Thursday of the Parshiyos of Shoivivim Tat. Shmais va'era boi b'shach yisra mishvatim truma tetzaveh. Some include vayako pekudai. And they say, shoimer Yisrael. And the shliach tzibur says, anenu, vayshachas and vaymincha. And the Arizal writes, in the Shar Ruach HaKodesh, Tikkun Chav Zayin, that these days are mesugal, are predisposed to rectify the sin of keri, to rectify the sin of impure emission, more than any other time of the year. So those who fast during this time of the year, their fasting is exceptionally accepted. And now, so what does it have to do with these parshiyos? Why is it connected to these parshiyos? And the Be'er Hetev says, because that's when the Shibud Mitzrayim began. Okay, very nice. That's when the Shibud Mitzrayim began. But The Shibud Mitzrayim is a tikkun, says the Be'er Hetiv, for the carry of Adam HaRishon. Now, what's that referring to? What carry of Adam HaRishon? And it was complete in the Parshas Mishpatim of Kisikne Eved Ivri. Well, we're going to come back to that. What does that refer to? The sin of Adam HaRishon, the carry of Adam HaRishon? We know Adam HaRishon ate from the Yetz Hadas, but where do we find that he sinned or he acted improperly in this area of lack of Kedushas HaBris? The Chida in the Tzipayren Shamer, Simen Vav, Ois Tzadiches, he brings from the Agure Ari that the Iker Tikkun of Shoivivim, the primary Tikkun of Shoivivim, is for a leap year. And therefore, someone who's weak and he cannot fast every year, there is a specific and special inyan to focus on it during a leap year, which we are now in. Now, the Shem Yishmo brings down in Parshas Vayechi that even though this time of the year is a tikkun for the chet hayadua, the known sin, almost as if we don't want to violate any proprietary practice by even mentioning explicitly what it is, so we just call it the well-known sin. And there are those who fast and they make afflictions. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the best affliction, the best way to be mesakein this chet is to rein oneself in, subjugate oneself to the path of the Torah. And he quotes the Kotzker, that following the halacha, following the path of the Torah, is the greatest hishtabdus, the greatest being an eved, the greatest siguf, the greatest affliction, more than not eating, more than not talking, is walking in the ways of the Torah to correct this particular avera. So here it is. We're in the dead of winter. Chanukah is over. We're not yet up to Purim. We're not even up to Tu B'Shvat. We, so to speak, have this six-week period, and we say, what are we supposed to do now? What are we supposed to focus on? The answer is Shoivavim. Shoivavim occupies this time of the year. Now, before we begin our journey of trying to explain why these parashiyos of Shema Yisva'ira, Boi B'Shach Yisra Mishpatim are connected to being misaking the sin, I want to share with you an idea that came out of this past Wednesday night shir. As part of our trip to Turkey, one of the highlights is we're visiting the grave of Reb Chaim Falaji. And Reb Chaim Falaji wrote a sefer called Chaim Tchila. He wrote 101 ways to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. And he originally printed it in very small size, so that in the month of Tishrei, when people don't really have enough time, they could take out this small sefer and learn one way the end of Devarim connects to the beginning of Bereishis, and this way there are small bite-sized pieces and you could grab a minute here, a few minutes there, and make use of the time that a person has. And in the Chaim Tchila, the Reb Chaim Falaji cites Rabbeinu Bechaye in the Sefer Kan HaKemach, and this is actually found in Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Va'aschanan as well. Rabbeinu Bechaye says that it is so important for one to guard their senses, as the five senses correspond to the five books of Chumash. And in fact, the Majid Tzareba says the reason why we begin learning Chumash at the age of five is because that's when the senses are developed. And once we have the five senses, we could study the five books of the Chumash. But be it as it may, the Rabbeinu Bechaye does not tell us which book of Chumash corresponds to which sense. However, Reb Chaim Falaji suggests that Sefer Bereishis corresponds to the book of vision, and in our humble work, Magen Rakia on Bereishis, we support this idea with many, many proofs, many examples of Bereishis where the sense of sight is focused on. And Reb Chaim Falaji says Vayikra corresponds to smell, as all karbonos are l'reach nichayach l'Hashem, a pleasant aroma to God. And the book of Bamidbar is taste. The man was given in Bamidbar. And Devarim is the book of, Rabbeinu Bechaye says, Rav Chaim Falaji says, listening. And he says the book of Shemois is the book of touch. And it's indicated in the very beginning of the Sefer, Ve'ela Shemois B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of the B'nei Yisrael, that they maintain their status of B'nei Yisrael. Habo'im Mitzrayim. Now, usually it would say Lim Mitzrayim, to Mitzrayim, with a final mem. The only thing is the final mem is closed, indicating people came into Mitzrayim on the open mem, but they were not able to leave because the mem on the end was closed, indicating the idea that nobody ever escaped from Mitzrayim. But Klal Yisrael were able to escape from Mitzrayim. And that is because the Habam Mitzrayimah, they were able to get out. Eis Yaakov, they learned from the Midah of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu did not see Keri for 84 years. His first child was his first droplet, his first Zera. And from that Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu imbued in Klal Yisrael, Ishu Beisai, each man in his household, that nobody violated in Yonei Arayos. So Rav Chaim Falaji says the book of Shemois is the book where we control and we harness and we safeguard the sense of touch. So in that sense, we could explain why Shemois is connected to the Shoivivim and the time of the year to overcome and to conquer in Yonei Kedusha, because Sefer Shemois corresponds to the Chush HaMishush, the sense of touch. And this is something that my good friend Rav Yossi Bodner pointed out, that according to Rav Chaim Falaji, that Sefer Shemois corresponds to the Book of Touch, it is appropriate that this is a Sefer that is associated with the Tikkun HaKeri and the weeks of Shoivivim and in Yonei Kedusha. But now let's analyze why specifically is this sin overcome through Shibud Mitzrayim? How is Shibud Mitzrayim specifically a tikkun for the chet of Tumah of Keri? So I want to share with you an idea. This is based on the writings of the Arizal in Shar HaKavonos, in Pesach, and Shar HaPsukim, and Parshios, Vayigash, and Shemois. Namely, Sefer Shemois begins, Vayimaru es chayehem ba'avoida kasha. They embitter our lives with bitter service. And one thing we have to ask is, what avera did we do that was so terrible that we had to suffer in the Holocaust of Mitzrayim? We had to be brutalized and we were beaten and they abused our children, they murdered our children, they threw them into the Nile. Why did they embitter our life? B'choymer uvilveinim, with choymer, with mortar, and with bricks. Why? What did we do to deserve that? What's the midah keneged midah? Did we really sin so grievously that we had to suffer for so long, for so many hundreds of years? And then in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Kol HaBein HaYiloid HaYo'ira Tashlichuhu, every son that was born, they throw into the river. Why? Why did that happen to us? What did we do that to deserve that they annihilated our children? They murdered so many, only one out of every five left Mitzrayim. Another question, and this is the question of the Zohar HaKadosh. When Klal Yisrael had stayed in Mitzrayim for some time, the Pasuk says, Vayomer al Amoy, Paroi said to his people, Hine Am B'nei Yisrael, Rava Otsu Mimenu. The nation B'nai Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is referred to as an Am. Am B'nai Yisrael, the nation B'nai Yisrael. Why are we called Am B'nai Yisrael? In a few psukim later it says, V'chasher ye'anu oisai kein yerbeh, v'chein yefroitz v'ayakutsu mipnei B'nai Yisrael, not Am B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. Why first are they called Am B'nai Yisrael and then plain and simple B'nai Yisrael? In Parshas Miketz, the Mitzrayim are starving. And they cry out to Paroi for bread. So Paroi says, go to Joseph. Asher yamar lechem tasu, whatever he tells you to do. Now Yosef told them they need to circumcise themselves. So they came to Paroi and they said, this Mishnah Lamelech, the second in command, he's out of his mind. He's telling us to circumcise ourselves. We don't want to do that. So Paroi said, what do you need from him? So we need food. Paroi said, why don't you store away food? He told you that famine is coming. So they said, we did store away food, but it all rot. So Paroi said, well, you better do what he says, because he obviously put a curse on your grain that it should rot. What if he curses that you should die? So you better follow what this person says. Why did Yosef command the Mitzrayim to circumcise themselves? What was the purpose of that? What was the function of that? Amazingly, in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Pei Dalet, Ois Dalet, the Medrash says on the Pasuk Vayeshev Yaakov that Avraham was Megayer Gerim. Avraham converted converts, like it says, Vayikach Avraham Sarai Ishtoi, Vayeshev, that's how Nevesh Asher Asa B'charan. Avraham converted Gerim. Sarah converted Gerim, like it says, V'yas ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. Yaakov converted Gerim, like it says, V'yemer Yaakov el-beisai. Why is Yaakov converting Gerim? What do we need Gerim for? We usually discourage converts. Kashal hem Gerim li'sok k'mespachas, k'sapachas. Why is Yaakov all of a sudden converting all these Gerim? What was the purpose of it? Why? What was he doing? Additionally, we find that in Parshas Shemos, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, a man went from the house of Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. Vatahar ho'isha, the woman conceived, Vatele ben, Vatero isek yitoifu, Vatitzpeneo shleshi rachem. Anybody know how old was Yocheved when she conceived Moshe Rabbeinu? It seems like Amram separated from his spouse, and all of a sudden, they get back together, and Yocheved conceives. So Rashi says that Yocheved was 130 years old. How do we know that? Because we know Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when he stood before Paris. So Moshe was basically 80 when he left Egypt. And Yocheved was born on the way into Mitzrayim. She was born what is called Bein HaChaymos, between the walls. And therefore, if they're in Egypt for 210 years and Moshe was 80 when they left, Yocheved must have been 130. Why did Amram separate from her until she was 130 years old? That's quite a long time. Why did Yocheved have Moshe Rabbeinu specifically at the age of 130 years old? To the point where the Ramban even asks, you know, we make such a big deal that Sarah had Yitzchak at 90. Yocheved was much older. Yocheved was 130. So what's the big deal that Sarah was 90? But why was Yocheved 130? Why did Amram separate from her until this point of time? So the Arizal sets forth a tremendous chiddush, a great principle, something only the Arizal could reveal. And this principle really gives us an understanding of what's taking place in Sefer Shemos and how this Sefer Shemos is really, in a way, a completion of Sefer Bereishis. That Arizal says like this, Veda, you should know, that Klal Yisrael and that generation of Shivat Mitzrayim were the souls of Adam Arishain from the time he fasted and separated from his wife. The Gemara says that Adam Arishain separated from his wife for how long? You got it, 130 years. And during that time, because he separated from his wife, he emitted Keri. And that Keri turned into demons. And that needs rectification. And these souls came back in Galus Mitzrayim. Now, we're going to take a brief commercial break. Again, to thank the sponsor of the venue tonight. Tonight's venue is different than a regular Wednesday night. The venue streaming on TorahAnytime.com through Chazak is sponsored by Chickens for Shabbos. Please go to the Yad Eliezer site, where you can support Agunois Grushois Melamdim. Now, the Arizal says something just mind-boggling. Let's learn the Gemara in Erevin on Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amr B'Yirmiya ben Elazar, all those years that Adam Arishain, after he ate from the Das, Eitz HaDas, he was excommunicated, he bore spirits, demons, and women spirits. Like it says, Vayechi Adam Shoshim Ashana, Adam lived 130 years, and then he gave birth in his image. That implies until then he was producing things not in his image. And the Gemara says, is that true? But Rav Meir says, Adam Arishan was a very pious individual. When he saw that he brought death to the world, he sat in fasting for 130 years and he separated from his wife. And the Gemara says, true. He fasted, he did tshuva, he separated from his wife, but for 130 years, he emitted zera, shechva zera, le'unsei, sort of against his will. It was something that was beyond his control. And that 130 years of emitting the keri required tikkun, required rectification. Says the Arizal, that 130 years, God gave an opportunity for those souls to be rectified, and he brought them back in the Dar Hamabel, in the generation of the flood. And instead of correcting what they did wrong, they corrupted what they did. And they again were mashchis zera. They continued in the sin of Adam, but this time worse. And that's why the pasuk says by the Dor HaMabul, Vayar Hashem Kiraba Ros Ha'adam. And the Lord saw that the evil of the man was bad. Why does it say Ha'adam? It should say Adam, man. The generation of the flood, they were sinning. No, it says Ha'adam, the man, referring to the sin of Adam Arishon repeated itself in the times of the Dor HaMabul. And therefore God says, Ayim Hashem Emcha'es Ha'adam, I will eradicate and erase and destroy and wipe out the man, referring to the fact that the Dor HaMabul was not successful in rectifying the sin of Adam Arishon. Then God gave them another chance. They came back as the Dor HaFlaga, and they continued to sin. That's why the pasuk says in Noach, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Hey, Vayered Hashem Liroi Sesayir, and God came down to see the city, V'es Hamigdon, the tower, Asher Banu Bnei HaAdam, the sons of the man. Why does it say Bnei HaAdam? It should say Bnei Adam. No, Bnei HaAdam. The reason it says HaAdam is to indicate that God gave Adam Arishon's the souls that he produced the opportunity to rectify themselves once again in returning to this world as a Dor HaFlaga, and they were corrupt again. Therefore, says Arizal, God gave them one third time, a last chance, and that's why it was decreed upon them such an intense and bitter and difficult galus. Because in the Dor HaMabul they were mashchis zera, so to rectify that they had to suffer the punishment of kol haben hayiloid hayoyro tashichu. They were again thrown into the water. Kol haben hayiloyro tashichu was similar to the punishment of the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul was mashchis zera, and therefore they drowned, and therefore they came back again in the guise of the Mitzrim and they of the Jewish people in Egypt. And they again drowned. So kol haben hayilod hayoyro tashichu was a replica of the oynish of the Dor HaMabul. So again, in the Dor HaMabul, they were the souls that Adam Rishon produced in that 130 years. And they again came back, not only in the times of the Dor HaMabul, times of Dor HaMabul they were corrupted and they were drowned. They came back in the times of Galus Mitzrayim and again they were drowned. Kol haben hayilod hayoyro tashichu. Now in the times of the Dor HaFlaga, what was their sin? They said, Hava, come, Nilbana Levenim, let's build bricks. Therefore they were punished Bechoymer uvilvenim, with mortar and bricks. Now the Arizal says in the Shar HaPsukim in Parashas Vayigash, on the pasuk V'es Ha'am He'evir Oisai Le'arim. What does that refer to? V'es Ha'am He'evir Oisai Le'arim. Says the Arizal something incredible. That the souls that were already corrected when they were in the times of Mitzrayim, they were reincarnated as the souls of the Jewish people in the times of Mitzrayim. And the souls that were not Mesukan, they were Nizgalgel, they were reincarnated as the Egyptians. And those are the ones that Yosef circumcised. Yosef recognized that the souls of the Mitzrim, of some of the Mitzrim, were those souls that were not yet rectified, not from the Dor HaMabul and not from the Dor HaFlaga. And therefore they came back and Yosef circumcised them. And Yaakov converted them. The converts of Yaakov Avinu were the souls of those who were not able to be corrected through those earlier generations. Now, those converts were the Erev Rav. They were Am B'nai Yisrael. And they were so many, they outnumbered the Mitzriim. And they lived Be'arehem. And that's what it means, V'yes Ha'am He'evra Oysam Le'arim, in Parshas Vayigash. Those were the individuals that Yosef moved to special cities. These were the ones that Yosef recognized needed tikkun. They had not yet achieved their tikkun, and therefore Yosef put them in special cities. Yosef circumcised them. Yaakov converted them. And they are the Am B'nai Yisrael. They are the Erev Rav. They outnumbered the main body of the Mitzriim. However, the B'nai Yisrael themselves were much less than the Mitzriim. They were a third of the size of the Mitzriim, like the pasuk says, "Vishalishim al kulai." They were Shlish Mitzrayim. So we have a few groups. We have the Mitzrim. They got no rectification at all. We had some Mitzrim that were slightly rectified. They, Yosef, circumcised. Yaakov converted. Yosef put them in special cities. They ultimately became the Erev Rav. And Paro was afraid they would outnumber them by joining the rest of Bnei Yisrael. And the Psukim read as follows. The Psukim read that Paro says, Hine Am Bnei Yisrael Rav Atzimeno, the Am Bnei Yisrael, the Mitzriim that got some rectification, Yosef circumcised and Yaakov converted and they were situated in special cities, they're going to add up, they're going to outnumber us. But what really disgusted the Mitzriim were not the Am Bnei Yisrael, were not those Mitzriim who joined the Jewish people, but they were instead, what really disgusted the Mitzriim were Hain, that were the Bnei Yisrael themselves. Vayakutsu mipnei Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael were really what got under their skin. This is the incredible approach of the Ari. The Ari says again that during those 130 years, Adam Arishon emitted Keri La'ainse, that's the sheet of Rameir, and those Ruchin Sheidin Alila needed Tikkun, and those that received some Tikkun, now they came back in the times of the Dor HaMabul. But in the Dor HaMabul, they again were Mashke Zera, and therefore they drowned. In the Dor HaFluga, they wanted to make Chomer and Levanim. So therefore, they both generations came back in the times of Mitzrayim, and Kol HaBen HaYiloid HaYo'ira Tashlichu was going on the Dor HaMabul that were Mashke Zera, and B'Chomer Uvelvenim was going on the Dor HaFluga, who they sinned B'Chomer Uvelvenim. Now, what's amazing is the Megala Amukos in Parshas Vaschanan, in his 236th piece on the opening pasuk of Vaschanan, he suggests there were actually a total of four generations. Not only the Dor Enosh, not only the Dor HaMabul, not only the Dor HaFluga, but the Dor of Sodom. So he adds, besides Mabul and HaFluga, Dor Enosh, and the Dor Sodom, these are the four steps, rings of the ladder of Yaakov Avinu, alluded to, Hine, Sulam, Mutzav Arza, Hine, Haflaga, Sulam, Sodom, Sodom was also there, Mutzav is Mabel, Arza is Enosh. And that is why Hashem gave four Lashonos of Geula, Hoitzesi, Escha, Mitachas, Sivlois, these four expressions, Hoitzesi, Haflaga, Eschem, Enosh, Mitachas, Mabel, Sivlois, Sodom. And that is why David HaMelech says every night he wet his bed in tears. B'dimasi Arsi Amsa. Amsa is Enosh, Mabel, Sodom, Haflaga. So according to Megala Mukos, this was expanded to four generations. Comes the Arizal. And that Rizal says, now we understand why Yocheved, Amram separated from Yocheved for 130 years. This corresponds perfectly to the 130 years that Adam separated from his wife, and he was Moilid, Ruchin, Shaden, and Lilin. And during these 130 years, Amram acted with absolute, complete Kedusha, rectifying those 130 years of Adam Arishon, producing the greatest human being who ever lived. So these parashiyos, Shemais, Va'era, Boi B'Shalach, the Kor HaBarzel Mitzrayim was a tikkun for the Keri of Adam Arishon. And now we know why it's associated with Inyanei Kedusha and Inyanei Shmiras HaBris. That's the whole tachlis of Yeridas Mitzrayim. The whole purpose of going down to Mitzrayim is to be misakin this particular chet of Adam Arishon. And Hashem gave them an opportunity in the Dor HaMabul, and Hashem gave an opportunity in the Dor HaFluga. In the Dor HaMabul, they sinned with Hashchas HaZera, therefore they were drowned. In the Dor HaFluga, they sinned with Hava Nilbana Levenim, and these two punishments repeated itself in the times of Mitzrayim, namely Kol HaBen HaYiloid HaYo'ira Tashlichuhu, and the punishment of B'Chomer U'Velvenim. Now, This is a time of the year we try to work on Inyanei Kedusha and the Parshiyos. As we know, the time that we read a specific Parsha creates the reality of that time of the year. We've explained many times that whatever is taking place during the year is very much connected to the Parshiyos. In fact, we once mentioned from Rabbi Moshe Wolfson that why is it that on Tisha B'Av the selected reading is from Parshas Va'aschanan, where we read Kisoyled Banim Uvnei Banim? Why not read the Toichacha or some other episode in the Chumash, some other tragic episode? The answer is that whenever we read a certain Parsha, we have a taste from that Parsha of the time of the year that it's associated with. There's an idea when we learn Parshiyos Shemois Ve'era by B'Shach, we get a taste of Pesach, we get a taste of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yisrael, we get a taste of Shavuos. If we would read any other Parsha on Tisha B'Av, then when we would read that Parsha during the year, we would get a flavor of Tisha B'Av during that time of the year. Hashem doesn't want us to have to experience a taste of Tisha B'Av during any other time of the year. And therefore, the Parsha read on Tisha B'Av is Va'aschanan, which is anyway the Parsha that we read that week. So we're not expanding another opportunity to experience Tisha B'Av. And this is a general idea that the Shlach HaKadosh tells us many times, that the Parshiyos of the year, of the week, are very connected to the Zman. So if now is the time that we're reading Shemois, Va'era, Boyim, B'Shalach, we're reading about Shibud Mitzrayim, which is a tikkun for a keri, then this is the appropriate time of the year to rectify this sin. Now, there are very frightening things in the Zayar HaKadosh regarding this particular sin, where the Zayar seems to use an expression that there is no way to be misaken this sin. However, there is no sin that is above repair. And what the Zayar means, simply, is that one cannot just be misaken it with regular tshuva, but if somebody does tshuva out of love, which is called tshuva ila'a, the supreme tshuva, then not only can you rectify it, but you can actually transform it into a mitzvah. Now, the Avnei Nezer in the Hakdamah to Egle Tal gives another meaning for the Zayar HaKadosh that is impossible to do tshuva for the sin. The reason why it's impossible to do tshuva for the sin is because Kabbalistically, the zera is rooted in the mayach, in the brain. And therefore, it's very hard to do a mitzvah to counteract the sin because the sin was rooted in the most elevated part of the human being. Even scientifically, this is proven because the zera is created through the pituitary gland. So that's that is a seamless idea with the idea of the zayar, that it's connected to the mayach. However, the Avnei Nezer says when somebody learns Torah with ion, with analysis, and they strain their brain to understand and to delve into the Torah, then they're getting into the source of the sin and they're able to rectify the sin and correct the sin, and it's very makar and it's very shayresh. So therefore, when a person learns Torah be'ion, especially Torah be'simcha, one is able to rectify the sin in its source. So we hope during these parashas of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyata d'shmaya to sanctify all of our activities. And again, I thank the sponsors of tonight's shir, the sponsors of Sefer Bereishis, the Zakheim Mishpacha, Lilei Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer, Ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, Lilei Nishmas, Rivka Bas Tovia. We thank the Reuben family for dedicating this shir in honor of the yahrzeit of David Chaim Ben Shlomo Dumbek. Again, thank you to Chazak for hosting this wonderful venue. And thank you for the sponsor of this venue, Chickens for Shabbos. Please go to the Yad Eliezer site. And again, hit the icon for Agunas Grushas Malamdim. And whatever you could do on any front to help Klal Yisrael in any way, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us all. Bevracha Shalema V'noimar Amen. May you all be Zoyche, Yimalei Hashem Kol Mashalois Libchem L'toiva. Have a wonderful evening. Bracha V'Hatzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.